Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is... Yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
At last! Where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Hey, hey, it's Coffee with Kenobi here live from the premiere of the Peoria Riverfront Museum Theater. I'm Dan Z, and with me is my good host, Corey Club. Corey, say hello to our live international audience via YouTube. This is our first actual live YouTube stream, and we are very excited about it. We are thrilled to see what's going to happen, because this is kind of a new one for us, isn't it?
It is, and, I think last year we tried to do this same thing. We had some interruptions and whatnot, but our original idea for this was to do really just a Facebook Live, and you kind of hooked us up with some local businesses and some local friends, and got a really fun experience going on here.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. We're going to do a lot of fun things tonight. We have a giveaway. Tonight's show, we are very excited about Rogue One. We are sponsored tonight by Uftring Nissan. The good folks over there have got a lot of exciting things going on. Letty Schmidt is here with the actual white Rogue One limited edition vehicle. You probably saw the video that we did earlier today with our little review. Big props to Peyton for putting that thing together. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. It's a really, really fun car to drive. Have you gotten a chance to peek at it yet?
I haven't, but like you said, I saw the wonderful video we did, the video that Peyton did was an excellent job, and it was cool to see that because it showed all the features. You had to go for a little test drive yourself around the neighborhood there, and it looks like it's just a smooth ride.
It's a very smooth ride. That's very nice. What a professional you are, smooth ride.
Smooth ride.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite things about it is, as I said before, the kick plate, when you open it up, it lights up.
It lights up.
Which is super cool.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but like my drink cup holders in my car don't have the Rebel and Imperial logos on them. Do yours?
They don't. They don't now, but you know, right. If I'm ever lucky enough to grab one of those, then it will. Then it absolutely will. So right now, we're live, as I said, at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. Rogue One, Corey, this is it, man.
Exactly, and we've been kind of gearing up for this for a whole year, and we didn't really have too many things planned. It seems like a little more low-key, I guess, in essence. And, you know, it was fun to be able to do some fun things like we did Force Friday. I got to do that for this, and we're able to meet with a lot of friends out there and do that, and we did some live recordings for that. And then, of course, you know, gearing up for Rogue One itself, just all the media and whatnot coming out for that.
Right. And so here's some questions that I have for you.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, can everybody hear Corey as well as they can me?
Am I low?
You're talking very quiet in your necklace.
Right here. How does that sound like that?
That's better.
Okay.
All right. This is the Bobby Roberts idea. Okay. So, Corey, what about Rogue One for you is so exciting that you can't wait? Like, what is the thing that you're most looking forward to? Well, I mean, obviously, we don't do the spoiler thing.
I think,
you're the co-founder.
Yeah. I think my biggest interest is the can they do like a side movie or a spinoff movie. Will this work? I think it's not necessarily a Skywalker-centric story. We know that going in. We kind of know a lot of the plot details going around the plot going in for some of the characters and stuff, but all this stuff is new for us, so it's going to be kind of an experiment to see if they can get this to work.
Yeah, I have a good feeling about it. I mean, the early buzz I've managed to avoid pretty well, but obviously people are pumped. They were excited about it. You'll pardon me the awkwardness of the silence here. I'm going to post a live link so people can watch this with us,
yeah,
which is very cool. Yeah, no spoilers. That's our thing. Oh, look.
And there we are.
Oh, apparently we are.
It's already up there.
We're already on there.
And in Spanish.
Okay, I guess we're already on there, and we're in a different language.
Awesome.
Okay, I don't know if that's how we did the settings or what. This is a very new thing for us, so.
It's fun, though, right?
I mean, very fun.
Well, the other thing, too, is, like we said, a lot of fun experience we've had so far leading up to Rogue One. One of the biggest experiences we had was being able to a review of a lot of items coming out that were kind of new to us, new vehicles, new characters. One of the coolest things, Verizon sent us these VR goggles that were kind of the new technology of the 2016-2017 era. And it seems like technology is moving that way. And they sent us a Samsung phone, and you got to try it out, the 3D VR, like Star Wars Rogue One mission. And it was kind of like a 30-second demo of what they kind of have in store for the Oculus headset. And they're gracious enough to send us one of those. We got to try that out. And my kids tried it. They had a blast with it. You tried it. It was fun. I think that's kind of the new experiences, I think, what Star Wars is going for.
I used to do here's the thing about the Verizon thing. Okay, so I put it on, and I went down to the basement where it was, pretty open. So, I mean, there was nothing going on down there. And you were down there with me. My wife was there, and my son was there. And Deanna tried it, and she was like, wow. And she just had this fun expression on her face because she didn't know what to expect. And I think the detail is great because, I mean, honestly, it's virtual reality, but so authentic. You look to the left, and I see the little... The side console, and then I looked behind me, and it just seemed like I was looking at the back of a seat.
See the R2 unit.
Yeah, exactly. In the front, it's just everything is going on around you. You've got the Star Destroyers, TIEs whizzing past you. And while I was watching it, my son threw a giant ball and hit me in the back, and I think that was supposed to make me think I was being hit by an asteroid or something.
Something like that.
I don't know that it quite had that impact on me, but it was funny. And it's a cool thing. Like, Verizon really went above and beyond. And that's not the only thing that they offer on that either. You can do... it's got, like, a shark. Yeah, I didn't do the shark thing.
So there are things on there which kind of give you the run-through of what Oculus and the Verizon is kind of setting up. They had some other, short demos of Pete's Dragon was one of them. They had some information about, like, a shark educational program. But it was cool to see that technology, kind of sync up with... Star Wars Rogue One, and you got the mission itself. I think if folks haven't seen any of the online videos and stuff, it's kind of like you're capping upon the Death Star, not really sure what's going on. There's, TIE fighters and Star Destroyers flying around, and it's pretty fun, and I think it makes definitely an impact as far as, using new technology to promote a movie like this.
I agree with you. So now I've set it up where we are live on our Facebook as well.
Cool.
So let's see how that works out for people. Hopefully we'll get some more exciting things on. And it looks like we already are. So good. Hello, everybody watching. Nice to have you here with us. As I said, this is our first ever live showing as far as like on. And, it's new. It's exciting. Tell me about when you think about Rogue One. I mean, I know there are certain things I'm looking forward to, but the main thing that I'm most excited about, I think, honestly, is I want to see the connectivity that we saw in Poe Dameron number 8, where there's connections to the novel Lost Stars. There are connections to Rogue One, right? When Agent Terex is in the little mini secret compartment, he's got all this Imperial paraphernalia. There's a Death Trooper helmet. There's a Scarif Stormtrooper helmet. And that's cool because, again, we know the story group. Hello, Matt and friends. They orchestrate this, and they spend so much time on it. So I'm excited to see what kind of Easter eggs. And Gareth Edwards, the director, has said quite prolifically that there are some Easter eggs in here as far as how many there are, to what degree. I don't know. We're going to find out. I don't want to hear anything. You already ruined Star Trek 2 for me, so seriously, you better drive back to Iowa.
Yeah, I think it's fun to, like you said, the little Easter eggs and such. And Marvel, I think, does a good job at that as well, carrying over to all the films and kind of reciprocating each other. This definitely has a lot of vibe to that, I think. Definitely has, from the trailers we've seen, the teasers and stuff, we've seen the kind of the Episode 4 look. It's got the grunginess to it, the darkness to it. The characters are all kind of fighting for something.
Right.
And I think we get that feeling. I think that's what the nostalgia feeling is what they're going for.
Yeah, and I think for me also, the electricity of knowing that I'm seeing the Death Star again, and the Death Star is always something that captivated me from A New Hope. Whenever Han and Luke, I mean, basically the movie's in three acts kind of anyway, and when they are in the Death Star and Han and Luke have their Stormtrooper armor on, and they're just going through those big hallways and the trash can patterns, the design of everything. I was always so enthralled by that. Rebels is obviously taking on that look.
Yep.
And they're Star Destroyers. And we're going to see a lot more of the Death Star than I think we've ever seen, if that's possible. And I am thrilled for that. Like, that's crazy to me.
That's the thing, too. Like, the Death Star has always been that central kind of figure, I guess, for the Episode 4. And that was, like, the main reason that, you know, they're doing what they're doing in this and their motives. And this will just see it all over again and kind of get to be able to see as far as, you know, the characters interacting with it. And it seems, it's, you know, from the trailers and stuff, it seems larger to me than it did back in 1977.
Which says the Death Star?
Death Star itself.
Yeah. Someone of my students asked me the other day, you know, if, and all the posters, of course, you can see the Death Star through the clash
of
the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's like
the
horizon.
Yeah. And he said, well, if the Death Star is that close, why isn't it thrown off, you know, the tide and stuff like that? And the answer is that this is science fantasy, not science fiction. So it doesn't have to necessarily make sense for it to make sense. Although I do appreciate the analysis of that. And I believe later in the show we're going to talk to the Peoria Riverfront Museum's planetarium expert and guide. And she's going to tell us a little bit about kind of the science of Star Wars. Again, if you are out in the area, we are at the Peoria Riverfront Museum in Peoria, Illinois, sponsored by Upring Nissan. We have the actual Rogue limited edition vehicle here for you to look at. It's a gorgeous car. I talked about the kick plates. We have a lot of keychains to give away. One in 1,000 has something special that you can get with it, which is super cool. There are posters. There are little sticky tattoos. What is that called?
Tattoo?
Yeah, not real water
tattoos. Like a water tattoo.
Water tattoos,
yeah.
Is that a thing?
Okay. You should get one put on your forehead.
Yeah. Oh, I have one. Yeah, do you want a keychain? Yeah, we've got a lot of keychains. Hey, Scott, did you get a keychain?
I did, thanks.
Attaboy. Yeah, you're welcome. So,
just perks, that's all.
There are a lot of perks here. There are a lot of perks when you go to the museum for coffee with Kenobi. What are some other things that kind of go to your mind? As far as, like, what's going on in the world of stars this week, did you get a chance to watch the premiere, the live stream at all? I know they've had it in L.A., and then they had a premiere on Monday in London.
I did, yeah. I watched a little bit of it kind of here and there, and I didn't see anything. It seemed like every time I got on to watch it, it was, like, cutting to commercials or kind of showing the ambiance of the crowds and stuff. And
sure.
But I did see some of the highlights, photos and stuff afterward. They interviewed a lot of the actors. I did see one with Cassian Andor's character, forgive me if I forgot his name, but the actor was very emotional, I guess, at getting the part and being in the
film.
That
is his name.
Right, the actor's name.
Yeah, Diego Luna.
Diego Luna, that's right, thank you. And he was very appreciative of being a part of Star Wars and being just in the film in general. I think for him as an actor, it's a big... big franchise to be in part of. I think a lot of actors are very gracious of being a part of such a big world.
How do you feel, as a quick interlude, how do you feel about looking at yourself while you're talking?
I don't like looking at myself. I'm a beautiful man, but, you know,
well,
only somebody touched, if I look at you, you turn to stone. Is that how that works?
That is a different mythology,
okay.
But I do understand.
Just trying to tie everything together.
That's a nice illusion. Thank you. Speaking of that, today in the local area where we reside, in the Peoria Journal Star, we did an interview early in the week for them talking about our show and how we started, where we're at now and kind of where it's gone from there. What are you doing?
I'm trying to screenshot.
Oh, screenshot. Oh, look at that.
This is fancy.
And so they interviewed us. It was really fun, about a half hour. And then we went later to there, and we went and got some pictures.
Photo shoot.
And so we knew we were going to be in the newspaper. What we didn't know is that we made the cover.
Yeah, that's funny, because we were gracious enough. They approached us, the entertainment section, wanted to interview us, just local. I think it was fun. We were able to sit down. We sat in a coffee shop, of all things, and we were able to just talk for a couple hours about what we did, just enjoying the local scene, I guess, and kind of, you know, some of the roots we got started and whatnot. And
yeah,
they posted it last night, and this morning was in the print, so... there was our Smellin' Mugs on the front cover.
I do love the article. Is really awesome. They did a wonderful job. And we appreciate that so much. The picture.
Hey, it's
my wife has had so much fun with that, and I appreciate why, because it's just a different one, but it was funny. It's cool. I mean, a lot of people like it.
I'm sure
it's caused great humor for people.
Well, here's the other thing too. There's an actor known as The Rock, and he has a not so flattering picture of himself way back when. And you know,
I know what you're talking about.
All celebrities are kind of getting those, and he has fun with it too. I think it's appropriately enough just to laugh along with it and have a good time and just keep on rolling with it.
Is one of us The Rock in this?
I'm The Rock.
You're The Rock?
If we're splitting things up.
You're more like a role. Hi, Aaron. Aaron texted me. Hello, buddy. Good to see you. Wish you were here with us. Aaron, of course, our host of Rebels Reactions. And I'm sure that the things that are going to happen in Rogue One, we hope, will have ramifications from Star Wars Rebels. And I'm pretty sure that Aaron is going to want to talk about that, so make sure you check it out. We also have Lattes with Leia with Amy Radcliffe and Dr. Andrea Letamendi.
Yep.
Is a wonderful show, doing a great job from their own point of view, and they're intelligent. And
we got Jeff and Matt
and
doing comics with Kenobi.
Absolutely. You want to hear everything about going on in the comic book universe of Star Wars. Those two are as good as it gets. And then we have our originals, Legends Library, with Randy and Luke.
Yep.
And they look at the different books from the Legends line, which is, of course, not canonical, but it's where it kind of set the stage for everything. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a big canvas for them to pick and choose from. And it's gone very, very well.
Well, Dan, I'll ask you a question for Rogue One. We talked about this earlier, and we were able to, you know, just sit around and talk before we came over here, and we were talking about, you know, how it will kind of go as far as the Star Wars will go and the mythology of how it kind of ties together. Not everybody is clued into what's going on as far as the storyline and whatnot. Can you talk a little bit about that maybe?
I can, but I'm going to take a brief interview here. Our good friend David is here. He's with the museum. He was gracious enough to have us here. And David, welcome to Coffee with Kenobi.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for being here.
So what has this experience been like for you getting ready? I know you were here for The Force Awakens, and I know you have had the good fortune of seeing Rogue One already. What does it mean to you, like, as a Star Wars fan, being able to be a part of something like this?
Oh, it's my favorite part of the year. The whole museum, we're all space geeks with the planetarium here, so we get excited. As soon as this Star Wars is over, we'll be looking forward to Episode 8, so it's definitely my best part of the year.
Awesome. And what kind of response have you had from the community as far as knowing? I mean, you've got the gorgeous IMAX stand there, and I mean, there's a lot of energy associated with this film, this franchise, and you've got such a beautiful place here anyway. So it's a great way to see the film for the first time.
Yeah, we've definitely become a place for families to come, especially that these movies come out during the holidays. It's a great place to bring grandma, grandpa, all the kids. You can see the museum, but then there's also a family-friendly movie to see while you're here.
Right. So I don't want to know spoilers, but is it family-friendly?
It is. It's not as family-friendly as The Force Awakens, but, yeah, there's nothing that you wouldn't want a kid to see in it. It's just not as family-friendly as some of the others.
It's good sci-fi fun.
Fair enough. And people watching, and we were practically breaking the Internet, I can see. but he looks just like Matt Martin from the Story Group. Do you know who Matt Martin is? He's one of the people in charge of tying the canon together.
And also a handsome fellow.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, well, hey, David, thank you so much. Be sure to come out. It's going to be playing here for a month?
Yeah, a month. January 12th is the last day.
And awesome. He's got 2D and 3D here, so that's a big deal.
Yeah. All right, well, David, thank you so much for being on Coffee with Kenobi.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
You bet. Our pleasure. So you had just said something to me.
I did.
You'd asked me about mythology.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's interesting because you can easily tie in, an episodic, if you want to call them episodic, film into Star Wars mythology and tie it into the Skywalker story and the other characters obviously mixing in that. How would this tie in as these characters? I mean, we have yet to see them, but how would you figure that in as them being kind of side characters, or
well,
how would Shakespeare kind of do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Are they side characters? I mean, for this movie, they obviously aren't, or nothing would propel the story. But, I mean, as of right now, we don't know how it all ties in, so I'll definitely answer that after, because I'm interested to see how that ties into it. But I think it enriches it, because we see that it's not just about people with lightsabers who are active Jedi Force users, or like, you know, the big bads of the universe. There's more to it. It's a more complex mythology. It reminds me, it's getting more and more like Tolkien, where there's just so much detail involved, you know, with the geography, with the technology, the science, the different variety of people. Hey, how's it looking, guys, on their live feed? Is it coming up, Tom?
About 20 seconds behind.
20 seconds.
Good.
How's it going? Well, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks. Well, our wives styled our hair. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. Thank you, Deanna and Holly.
I did my own.
Oh, you did your own? Well.
Yeah, it doesn't match up there, so that's okay. You can talk about tying in the mythology of Star Wars itself. I think what's interesting, too, is, you know, people always talk about, oh, this happened at Episode 1 or this happened at Episode 2. What we'll see at this, will this bring big ramifications to the central saga itself, I wonder? You know, obviously, it leads up to the sequel to this film, Episode 4, A New Hope, Star Wars A New Hope. So
I would think so.
Obviously, there's a lot of key figures that they're kind of B players in Star Wars themselves. And it's interesting to see how those B characters will kind of tie into the main, more main characters themselves, how, what relationships they have, and things like that.
Yeah, good. Sorry, I was trying to mess with Corey because while he was speaking, he did a lovely job, very eloquent.
Thank you.
I pulled up our YouTube to see what it looked like.
Are we off by like
we're like on
seconds?
A 20-second delay.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty funny. I think it would be cool to talk a little bit more about the upcoming Nissan Rogue One.
Sure.
One of the perks, let's have Letty Schmidt from Nissan, upcoming Nissan, come down to the microphone. And she's got a cool program with Toys for Tots where you can help out your community. As is so often the case with Star Wars and Star Wars fandom, we just do a good job. They do a good job as a community of bringing people together, creating positivity throughout the galaxy, throughout our actual galaxy. Because, I mean, this is a fun space fantasy. But, you know, it impacts lives in real ways. And we're going to have Letty Schmidt come down and tell us more about it.
I think she's out here selling a car.
She might be selling a car. So, well, don't sell the one that I want.
Interrupt that. Yeah, well, yeah. That's their question I was going to ask you, Dan. You went out and talked to Letty at the upcoming Nissan here in Peoria.
Yeah.
And we're able to, like I said, you had a video out there, and we're able to do a test run of it. What color would you pick, white or black, for your, if you were to so happen upon one?
Yeah, I want the black one. I like the black because it's all, I mean, this one's
sleek, isn't it?
It's sleek. I mean, that one's white. It's got the chrome on it and the black,
yeah.
Which accentuates it really nicely. And we have a white SUV, so.
Oh, you don't want to double it up, though, right?
Yeah, I don't want to. I just like the idea of, I don't know, it's just pretty cool. this is good quality.
This is quality.
Quality stuff.
Podcast. Yeah. We're good at this.
We apologize for breaking the internet in advance.
Yeah, we're up to five now.
That's
almost over the line.
At least now we know.
I think YouTube has a cutoff point, right?
Somewhere. Well, what's interesting, this is a Google Hangout.
Ah.
So if we were talking to someone like Jeff McGee or one of our friends from across the pond, like Mark Newbold or James Burns, we could probably see them.
Yeah, it's. I think what's fun, too, about using technology like this, I mean, we joke about it, but I think it's fun to be able to broadcast different ways and experiment that way and of course, do it live here and see what happens.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of loyal fans here, fans of our show, fans of Star Wars, and now they're looking around to see who we're
actually
talking about.
We're
talking about you three. We're talking about Tom and Bill and Scott. Gentlemen, we'd like you to have to come on down to the microphone. We're going to ask you a little bit your thoughts on Rogue One before we actually see it. One at a time. Well, I think we can handle
fight.
You.
They're fighting over a position
right now.
Find
your way through the crowd, if you would.
So, we'll let...
Go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
I'm Scott Nafziger.
Scott is, he's been on Coffee with Kenobi a few times before. You sat in my studio at one point,
yes.
Didn't you?
Yes.
The luxurious studio.
I love
that. There he is.
Yes.
He is. You're on the live feed.
A face for podcasting.
Yes, you do. A face for podcasting. So, Scott, you, as we were coming over here, you had mentioned that, you know, of course, you're excited about this because you're a Star Wars fan, but you don't know much about this film at all, do you?
I don't know anything about it.
And is that good or bad?
That's very good.
Now, do you think was it marketed differently, The Force Awakens, for you? Because you're a fan, but you're a casual fan. You're not a...
Well, I take it back. I saw the trailers. Does that count?
That does count.
Okay, I do know a little bit then by the trailers.
Okay.
I think I intentionally stay away from it, though, until the movie comes out. Then I can make my own judgments about it.
Sure. Well, I think that's the way to go.
The setting's in space.
The setting is in space.
Corey, I don't know if you just, but you need it. You need to talk about it.
Some of it has been already ruined here.
That's right. Yes, thank you, Aaron. Aaron came all the way from Iowa to be here, which is super cool. Aaron, come say hi. Come be on Coffee with Kenobi, buddy. Aaron is a former student of mine. Aaron, without spoiling anything, because it's kind of his nom de plume, tell me what is it that you love about Star Wars and why you're excited for Rogue One?
Well, I grew up with it. Episode 1 came out when I was only 5 years old. I didn't get to see it because my dad would take me. But eventually I just grew to love it. He showed me all the original trilogy, and I've been hooked ever since.
Right. That's absolutely what we've
been. Star Wars.
That's right. We've had a lot of good conversations about the wars and Star Trek and things like that throughout the years.
You showed me. It can be used in the classroom.
That's right. It can be used in the classroom. Thank you for the plug. I will send you that check very soon. Again, we are sponsored by Upgrade Nissan. We have Letty here from Upgrade Nissan, and she is being paid to come to the Coffee with Kenobi stage. Letty,
I'm coming to the community
yes,
stage.
Welcome to the show, Letty. Thanks for being here.
I feel like this is coffee talk.
It is coffee talk in a way.
Welcome.
I had said to our listeners earlier, we talked about what offering Nissan is doing and Nissan is doing with Toys for Tots. Can you tell everybody about that?
Some of the things that Nissan's doing for Toys for Tots is they are actually having a campaign. It's going to start on Saturday and run through Sunday. And what they're going to do is if you donate a Star Wars toy, you can do it right from the comfort of your house. It's on the Amazon website. If you go to our Facebook page, which is Uftering Nissan, and you can probably share that on your page, and I'll share that.
Absolutely.
If you get on there, you can get on that link. If you get a Star Wars toy, Nissan will match that donation with another Star Wars toy.
Which is amazing. It's a great thing. See, that when we talk about Star Wars fans help the community, the 501st is great. Nissan, Uftering Nissan, is this incredible thing going on. And the video was released today. Peyton did such a great job on that.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, well, thank you. He's excited. And we talked about it on the show last time. So tell us kind of what the response has been when people come in and look at this thing. Do they say, I don't want to go by that one because Dan likes that one? Or how has that been working so far?
The black one, nobody wants because Dan wanted it. So nobody's taking it. I'm just joking. No, the response has actually been fantastic. Some of the different things about that Rogue, like with the black roof rails and the blacked out wheels, people have been coming over here all night taking a look at it. Is it for sale now? It is for sale now.
How much?
Make Dan an offer.
Yeah, make me an offer.
Make Dan.
That's not enough.
Hey, worth a shot.
Exactly. People can make Dan an offer and we'll go from there.
That's right. An offer that I can't refuse. That's another mythology, another franchise. So, Letty, when you and I met, you're a huge Star Wars fan.
I am.
When you found out that after Nissan was going to sell a Star Wars car, what went through your mind?
I got very excited. I actually have an 8-year-old son, Joseph, and when he found out, he's like, Mom, we don't need your car anymore. Why don't you get one of these for your daily driver? Don't drive the Xterra anymore. Drive this.
And how'd that work out?
I'm still driving my Xterra.
He went with us on the test drive.
He did.
And it was fun talking to him about Star Wars. He said his favorite movie was The Force Awakens.
It was. And he has his Christmas program. It was a good movie, but I've heard this one's better. Oh. I've heard rumors that this one's better.
We will just have to wait and see. We're an hour and 10 minutes from seeing it. And now I think Corey is getting revenge on me, because when we had our live show at Star Wars Reads Day, I had to stop and go around it and follow my son around. And so Corey kind of had to walk the rope for himself.
I'm over here looking.
And he's looking at the car. What do you tell him?
The car's nice.
Tell Letty what you think about the car. But remember,
what do you think of the car?
You need the microphone. This is a podcast.
Interview me now.
Yeah, so I think I looked over the car, and we were just talking about how much we can't think of any other products that have Star Wars included, like so much as a brand as of Star Wars itself. And it transcends different products, different marketing, merchandise. I mean, I think last year, I don't think they had anything necessarily that was Star Wars-centric so much as this, and Nissan has kind of blown it out of the water for us.
It is. I was going to say, I know from an automotive manufacturer that Nissan is the first one to do anything of this kind.
That's true.
And that's what, I mean, we had the wonderful opportunity to do stuff with Disney and Lucasfilms, and no other car manufacturer has been able to claim that.
It's cool. I can't wait to talk to Steve Sansweet and see. I mean, he has the world's largest Star Wars collection. I mean, I think, and I've been to Rancho. I know he's got room for one of these.
I can help him. You can't have his black one, but you are welcome to take this wonderful white one right here.
That's right. And Steve, it comes with a cup of coffee, so that's exciting.
It would come with a cup of coffee. I will provide you with a cup of coffee.
There you go. Deal. Well, Letty, thank you again for being here and bringing this incredible vehicle. I can't wait to see what the response is going to be. It's going to be huge. People are going to walk out of the theater all fired up, and they're going to see this. So
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we are too. Thank you so much for being on.
No problem. I appreciate it.
Absolutely,
thank you.
Absolutely. Well, let's bring
Do you have to come back?
He has to come back. Speaking of come back, Tom Gross.
Come on, Tom.
He's no stranger to this show. He's been on a few times with us. As we say that every time.
I'll go ahead and get him. Thank you so much again.
Thank you. You're welcome. Right? Oh, it was. Oh no, that's not good.
We got Jeep Patriot now.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cool. So, Tom, you're a radio guy. You're a Star Wars guy.
Hey, yeah.
There he is. What a handsome devil. What are your first impression of the Rogue?
This car is so cool. There's so many little treats in there. When you open up that driver's side door, you have the light. I don't know what
they call it, the kick plate.
The kick plate. It lights up with the Star Wars logo, and then over on the passenger side door, do you see that emblem? That
oh,
medallion that's like attached to the door.
Yeah.
It is so cool. I took some pictures and. Check out Twitter and Coffee with Kenobi because I attached it to that.
Oh,
some great pictures on there of this car. And then you open up the hatch in the back and you got Star Wars there and just a lot of nice little Star Wars treats.
Right. And to be fair, that's the only thing that is sort of not incognito because I think you could maybe, I mean, the medallion, as you call it, is on the side. I don't know if it's a medallion. You can't wear it around your neck.
No, but the car wears
the
it
car,
like one.
Yeah, there you go. Well, on the side, when they have, like, the lights, my wife says that's like the car's earrings, which I've always sort of, I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, but on the back, it has Star Wars on the bumper, and it's hard to miss that. But that's okay. It's cool. It's super cool. I was sort of hoping she would let me drive it to the museum. That didn't work out, but, hey,
that'd
you know.
Nice.
Yeah, I can test drive
nice
it
ride.
Again. Yeah, it's a cool ride.
You know, I started telling you this on the way here when we were talking about, like, the excitement of the day and all the fun stuff that goes on with an opening of a movie. And this morning I was sitting with my daughters at breakfast, and we were playing the Star Wars soundtrack. And I got to thinking, gosh, it's been over 30 years that I've been, like, listening to this music.
Yeah.
And it becomes new over and over and over again. And now we get a movie that fits right into something that we already know.
Amazing.
Like we joked about at dinner how, you know, they've already released the poster for the sequel to Rogue One. I mean, come on. But how exciting this is. And it just never ends, which is, it's like heaven.
It is. Well, I mean, they've said, Bob Iger has flat out said, you will never see... Star Wars is going to outlive you, basically. So when I die, there'll still be Star Wars movies coming out. And hopefully that's not for a very long time. I'd like to see about, 60 more.
Lots more. Yeah, that'd
more,
be great.
So, yeah, that would be good. Who else do we have here? Tom, we're an hour and 6 minutes away from a brand new Star Wars film. And we were talking about this earlier, the excitement level. There are times when it hits me, and there are times when I'm just thinking, okay, let's do this. Well, I mean, how are you? Where are you on that scale? We'll have Corey down here to talk about it soon. Corey, you are still the co-host, right? Okay.
Sorry, I'm just mingling.
He's the schmoozer. I knew it was going to happen eventually.
Yeah, to answer your question, I just, you know, where am I? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm pumped. I'm ready to just walk in there and sit down, and I don't know what to expect. You know, it's not one of the core.
Right.
And we haven't had anything other than the core. So I don't know what the intro is going to be like. I don't know what the music's going to be like. So there's so much to look forward to. But I tell you one thing. When Corey sits down here, I want you guys to put these glasses on.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I want to
yeah.
see what these look like. I need to snap a picture so that we can
Thank you for
see,
saying
what,
that.
We'll see what these are. Hang on.
Yeah, David, here's Corey. Kind enough to put the glasses here. So, David, thank you for showing us this. But these are the options they have for 3D. We've got... We've got this right here, which is, of course, the Stormtrooper 3D. Let's try it on.
Photobomb.
Oh, see, Letty's got him too. Oh. Corey is the Rebel.
There we go. Oh, I didn't get you.
Oh, sorry. Smile.
All right.
For those of you who are listening to this 4 years later, we are wearing sunglasses.
This is 3D glasses.
We're wearing our 3D glasses.
Yeah,
there's another one, too, that's pretty cool. I'm going to do that.
Switch over to the dark side.
Over. Mm-hmm. This is the new trooper that I'm, I think, the most excited about. These are the Death Troopers.
The Death Trooper.
They don't look scary.
You look kind of scary.
I mean, scarier than usual.
You got, like, little
Yeah, this is like the lights. Hasbro was kind enough to send us a number of exciting merchandise. Ooh. And the Death Trooper helmet, when they speak, these light up green. They're super cool.
Oh, that's nice.
These are nice. These are nice collectibles to have. And Star Wars, as you know, is quite awesome when it comes to collectibles. And there's been a lot of cool stuff that's come out for Rogue One already.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking about this last week. Oh, cool. Yeah, we talked about this last week about new stuff coming out as far as the next wave of figures and merchandise, and we kind of were taking our little trips around the stores and whatnot here and seeing new things. Anything that's caught your attention?
I mean, the AT-ACT. That's
on your Christmas list.
That is the
Christmas list.
Yeah, that's right. and it's amazing. You know, we talked about this before. It's actually on sale for $100 less on Walmart. It's $200 bucks now on Walmart.com. I saw that. I was like, wow, I still can't buy that.
You're not changing affiliates, are you, from Walmart, Target to Walmart?
No, we're still offering Nissan. Walmart is not sponsoring the show. But no, it's a beautiful thing. I just like the fact that I can't wait to play with it with my son. I mean, honestly, this is one that I would open up and I wouldn't even think twice about it.
That's interesting because, the other thing about it too is the technology has come so far as far as, you know, the not walking and then back from 1977.
Yeah.
Did you have the AT-AT?
No, that's the one collectible that I've always wanted, that I've never had.
This one is
my brother
like,
had the one.
This one's the upgrade.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Am I okay? Yes, I'm more than okay. I mean, the old one might not be as malleable and have as much playable value because I'd be more worried about it. I know. It's exciting. You have to keep in mind, too, that if people are standing in line now, you don't want to use data. They can listen to this later in the comfort of their own mobile device.
There you go.
Yeah. So this is the thing I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
And this is the thing that's I've really been thinking about. Last year around this time, we were getting ready to watch Rogue One. I know how I felt that day, the night before, going to the theater, moments before the lights went out and the screen came on. Compare how you feel now to how you felt last year.
Well, I mean, the other thing, too, we had, 2 years, maybe almost 3 years before we actually saw the film itself. And this has been kind of like only a year within wait time, I guess. You know, it had been,
true.
How many years before we actually saw another Star Wars film?
I mean, 2005 to 2015, but 1983 to 2015 for Return of the Jedi to The Force Awakens.
The other thing, too, is it just almost seems unprecedented as far as we're getting another Star Wars film almost every year now. And it's becoming commonplace to talk about it and to see merchandising and to get excited for films.
True. All right, so here's the thing for me. Before The Force Awakens, I was kind of a wreck. Like, I don't usually get that nervous about things. Yeah. Like that. Hardly ever. I had a hard time eating. I remember going through the drive-thru, and I was so, like, keyed up. Did you get your tickets yet? Go up there and... Yeah, ask for David. Yes. Okay, so we're just doing a little bit of side stuff here. I was so angsty about it. Once we started broadcasting, I felt fine. You may have been the opposite. But I felt really, really good about that. And then, yes, that's good.
Cool.
And it was just hard. When the lights went out and it said, Luke Skywalker has vanished, I remember, like, putting my hand like this and putting my hands on my knees and, like, it's going, oh my, I can't believe this is happening. I looked over at you and you were laughing. And
I was laughing at you. The other thing, too, we talked about, you know, Star Wars has such a, like, almost like a template, I guess, if you will.
Sure.
And, you know, we have the opening sequence, we have the crawl, a movie starts. We'll just still have that. We'll still have that ambiance, that feel of it being a Star Wars film. I would hope it still would because, you know, we read some of the books, the media and stuff, still start off with a galaxy far, far away. The ringing of bell, apparently. I don't know if that's something. 1 hour, we're 1 hour away.
That's the 1 hour bell.
1 hour bell. Okay, gotcha.
I think the thing for me, like, I'm insanely excited, but I'm also able to temper it a little bit more for some reason because I don't let myself think about it. I know how I was like, last year, and I'm enjoying this experience because it's so unique, and there's a little less pressure. I think there's more pressure in a way on Lucasfilm and Disney because this is kind of an unproven product, even though it's got the name Star Wars on it. But for us as fans, whatever is the result of the film, we've got 7 already that we're just absolutely enraptured by, and Episode 8 is... It's hard to imagine Episodes 8 and 9 disappointing. So this is a whole other thing. It's a Star Wars story. When you first heard the concept, Star Wars story, how did you feel about that? At first, it was Star Wars anthology. And
It was playing around with a little different naming convention. And to me, a Star Wars story sounds a little bit generic.
Really?
I'll be honest.
That's fair. You should be.
I mean, why not a Star Wars experience or a Star Wars journey or, Yeah, they're linking back, obviously, to Star Wars.
Did you say Star Wars Journey?
Journey, yeah.
Well, then people would think about Steve Perry.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot you're old.
Am I?
Yeah, I don't know what else you would call it. But obviously, you have to wrap it into the brand itself being Star Wars. And, you know, is it a Star Wars anthology? Well, that It seems like a mouthful of words, right?
Yeah, well, the Star Wars anthology does seem a little heavy in there. I don't know if the thought process was maybe some people won't know what an anthology film is, I guess.
That's true.
But it's a story. A story, I think, is something that brings people in, right? A story is told from when you're little all the way to you telling stories as a grandfather or a grandmother.
No, I'm old.
And yeah, right? And so it's a story just, I think, opens it up. Say, this is about all ages, all shapes and sizes. It's just something to bring people in. And I think it's going to work really, really well. Can you believe, by the way, in a couple years where we're going to be doing this before a Han Solo spinoff film story?
Yeah, no, we got to talk about this at where I work. And they're talking about, you know, obviously Episode 8 comes out next year. And so what comes out next after Episode 8? You know, is it the Han Solo film? I think they've already announced that.
Yeah, it is. It's in May. Yeah.
So that comes out in May. Then does that next fall?
That's as far as we officially know. I personally like this December thing because I like fervor of Christmas and the holiday season. Doesn't you wear your coat to the movies? And then I just like
cold, yeah.
the days between Christmas and New Year's Eve. I just love that families go to Star Wars together in the theater. I just think that just reminds me when I was a kid what we used to do with my mom and my brother. And it was just... It's just something that I'll never forget, and I can't wait to do that with my kids. And two of them are going to be here pretty soon, which is awesome. We're going to have a lot of fun experiencing this movie.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. I mean, like we say, you know, there's so many different generations of Star Wars fans now, and even as kids are growing up with Star Wars, they get to enjoy, obviously, Episode 7, Force Awakens. They get to enjoy Rogue One. These are going to be their films that they went and saw for the very first time, and that was their first experience as a Star Wars film.
That's true.
So... That's pretty cool.
It is cool. It's crazy. So we're getting closer and closer to signing off so we can do this. So after the show, we're not going to do another Google Hangout Live for that afterwards because we don't know what kind of... Corey may have tear marks.
I might be just passed out.
You know? He might be passed out. Nothing to see here. I don't know. We're gonna definitely record, and we're going to splice this at the end of the show. So we can share with everybody our initial thoughts. Later, in a few weeks, we're going to record a big review show like we did last year for The Force Awakens, still our most popular episode of all time, by the way, by a large margin. So we're hoping to do that again with Rogue One. So we're definitely going to break it down. We're going to give it a little bit of time, let people... We're going to see it multiple times, I would presume, and just kind of let people soak it in. And because there's a lot of things that are going to happen, a lot of implications for the Star Wars universe, and... I know. I'm excited. Like, I'm ready to go in there and sit down and just kind of get ready for this experience. We're going to see X-Wings again, TIE Fighters, the classic Stormtrooper armor, the Death Star, the threat of the Death Star, the omnipresence of it in the galaxy, you know, in the atmosphere. It's so cool. It's just really going to bring it home in a new way.
Well, that's interesting. You're a good point that with the fact that you were going in with, you know, excitement and whatnot, but... you mentioned earlier, like, you know, Episode 7 was a big shift in how you're sitting down and seeing the film. The Star Wars Rogue One, is this... The excitement is building, but you said, is it different? Is it different? Like, coming out of it, it's like, are you going to be as impacted emotionally, I guess?
I think so.
You think so?
I mean, how could you not be? You're still seeing... This is the first time ever, by the way, in anyone's lifetime that you're seeing a new Star Wars movie... Two in 1 year. I mean, that is certainly unprecedented. So how it's going to impact audiences short-term and long-term is anybody's guess. But I know it's just a very unique thing. People worry sometimes about burnout, and I can see that with maybe... I don't know. I can see that happening, but I don't think it's going to happen to me because I think if you create a life for yourself where you've got... Obviously, you want to watch it, and you're going to soak it in, and the stuff that we do, we're obviously... very involved in expressing our fandom. But I don't know, I think it's smart. The marketing campaign has been a lot less aggressive.
Yeah,
and I think that's rightfully so.
Sure.
And The Force Awakens was just like an onslaught, an avalanche. Everywhere you went, you saw... I mean,
yeah, it was everywhere.
I love seeing the Star Wars creamer. I haven't seen Star Wars creamer this year. I've been disappointed by that.
Cause Star Wars
I like going to my fridge and seeing R2-D2 and getting my vanilla creamer. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think they're smart. I mean, the marketing people know what they're doing.
Can we stop for a second? You would take creamer over a Nissan Rogue.
I didn't say that. I said last year. I can't open my fridge and pull out a Nissan Rogue.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, the fridge is not that big. We do have a lot of kids. Boy, this is exciting. See, yes. I don't know. I mean, what else can we say? It's time. I think it's time to wrap this baby up. We want to thank Updrink Nissan again for sponsoring this show here at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. It's an amazing place to catch a film. The screen is somewhat—it's just a different size. It's not—it's it's like a giant wider. Screen. It's a giant screen.
It's not IMAX, but it's giant.
Right. It's just—it's a really cool way to see a movie, and I think just what better way to see Star Wars than in a mega screen with the incredible sound system that they have here. So if you're in the area, be sure to come down, check out the Nissan Rogue One limited edition vehicle. They have black and they have white.
Yep.
They're amazing vehicles. Right now they're giving away Star Wars Nissan keychains. You can only get at the Nissan dealership or here at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. Yeah, we have posters and we have those. Why do people call them water tattoos? Is that a thing?
It's a thing with, I think, kids.
There's got to be a better name. Can we come up with a better name than water tattoo?
Well, you use water to apply the tattoo.
So I'm aware of this.
Anyway.
I don't know. Anyway.
Riveting.
This is
here.
Good stuff. So I hope everybody enjoys the film. This is our last actual broadcast before we see Rogue One. Next time we come back, we're going to have... Well, we're going to have a lot to talk about, dude.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we got a lot of fun things lined up for the end of the year.
Yeah.
We got some fun guests, some fun excitement going on with that we're going to kind of line up for like the post Rogue One conversation.
Sure. Yeah, so we hope everybody enjoys the film. Thank you so much. Thank you again to Updrink Nissan for sponsoring this show here at the Peoria Riverfront Museum.
Thank you again. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. You're welcome. Thank you.
We're honored that they sponsored this segment for us, the show, and it's great. Just being able to record and have the road. I mean, even I can't imagine ever a time when we're going to be able to record with a Star Wars car in the same room with us.
Probably. I don't think so. This is rare for sure.
I mean, even if we did both get one, I think that's in the contract, right? I don't think they fit in our car.
She's not listening right now. But
Okay. We'll have to tell her. We'll break the news to her later. I'm sure her sales manager would totally approve.
Yeah.
It's reasonable. I think it's reasonable.
Maybe a ride home. That'd be.
that would be nice. So thank you again, everybody, for tuning into our very first ever YouTube live event. Now we know we can stream like this, and I kind of dig it, man. It's fun.
You can dig looking at yourself. It's okay, though.
So this is Dan Z.
And Corey Club.
From Coffee with Kenobi, again, brought to you by Updrink Nissan. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy Rogue One, and we will be back after the break to talk about our initial reactions to the film. Thank you, everybody, so much. Enjoy the movie.
Find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
I must be allowed to speak.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Wow. We just got out of Rogue One, and we are actually, this is pretty cool. We're sitting in the Rogue One limited edition car from Updrink Nissan. Thank you again for sponsoring us and letting us record inside this. It's like its own little studio, which is great.
It's like soundproof.
It is soundproof. All right. Go. Just go.
Yeah, I'm going to go first thoughts. I think overall, it was a great film. It was a lot of fun. The characters were great. So much new stuff. I mean, I was excited to see all kinds of new places, planets, the characters, old characters coming back. We have Tarkin, which was a huge, I did not expect that at all. That was one of the best reveals. He was almost my favorite character. Isn't that as weird much as that is?
Cool. That's cool.
But overall, I think K2SO is my favorite character.
Really?
Yeah. Before I jump in, we have Tom's back with us, and then my brother-in-law Bill is here, and he is definitely an insider and a movie aficionado in front of and behind the camera. So it's awesome that he's here. But Tom, go ahead, man, take it away.
I turned to Corey. I sat next to Corey during the movie, and I as the credits were rolling, I was speechless. I have to admit, maybe got a little misty-eyed at just being overwhelmed with everything that came at us over the last 2 hours, from some great cameos from characters we know and love to surprising new characters that just made us laugh. We fell in love with them, and in such a short time span, we came to maybe even have a little hatred for some people, or even deeper hatred for some characters. It just did everything that I had hoped it would do. I really am kind of speechless and trying to absorb it all, but it was phenomenal.
Can we just back up a minute and just say this might be a podcasting first, because Dan and Corey, Coffee with Kenobi, are sitting inside a Nissan Rogue One. That's probably that nice warm sound you get, like a studio sound. You're sitting inside a Nissan Rogue One inside of a museum with the line for the next movie wrapping around the car waiting to get into the 9 o'clock show. That has to be a podcasting first, a Coffee with Kenobi first.
Yeah, for sure.
And that beautiful studio sound is the Nissan Rogue One from inside this wonderful interior. And we were just trying to figure out if it has reverse neutral drive and hyperdrive in this car. That's the only thing. Okay, well, just wanted to set that stage again, because that's pretty incredible.
So tell us, I mean, your initial thoughts before I jump in here.
My initial thoughts on the movie is, wow, let's just agree that this movie went there. This movie is a tremendous addition to the Star Wars canon. And for me, being my generation, when I saw the original Star Wars, it was called Star Wars. And when you guys saw it, your generation, it was called New Hope, or it had expanded into New Hope.
1981 it changed.
1981. And so this movie, I think, satisfies both of us. It makes the original three Star Wars pictures even deeper and more meaningful. This is definitely an expansion on the franchise, and I think a very, very good one, because this movie went there. It will satisfy any Star Wars fans, the things we want in the movies, and it goes a little deeper in some ways. It's a very spiritual film. It's a very action-packed film. It's a standalone film in many ways, and I think the audience for this is, again, I think it expands, you know, the age, as we've aged with the Star Wars franchise. I think this satisfies a very broad audience.
Well said, all of you. I mean, if I had one word, if you said, describe your reactions or like what this movie's about, I would say the word is sacrifice. And there's just so much power in this movie. And I'm assuming that if anyone is listening to this, they've seen the movie, but we're still going to respect the spoiler thing and not hit all the major reveals until a few weeks later, as originally promised. That being said, it, like you said, Billy, it went there, and it's just, it's very textured. It's not mythological almost at all, which I found fascinating. Really, it does expand this canvas of the Star Wars galaxy uniquely, because now we have real texture. Now it's not just about Skywalkers in a particular group. There's like, you know, no names, quote unquote, that do incredible things. Without them, there is no Red 5 Luke Skywalker blowing up the Death Star. The way it's explained, and I am actually kind of speechless, because I don't know what, like you said, Tom, this is what everything you expected. I don't know what I expected, and I don't even know if that was it, but it was better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'll say too, I mean, you said it didn't have a whole bunch of like spiritual acness, spirituality too. I mean, there was a lot, I guess, in some sense, but not as much as we've seen in other Star Wars films, I think. But the aspect of love, of, like I said, sacrifice, just of, it's almost, like I said, I feel speechless, because we see some connections to these characters, and they all just work together for a common good. And it's just, it is hopeful. It brings hope to you as a fan through this movie, through this film. They can accomplish their mission. They can do what they're set out to do. And along the way, they, you know, are just impacted by each other.
Right. Well, real quick, let's hit high points and things that maybe didn't work as well for us, just to kind of be realistic.
Sure.
High points for me, there are many. The reveals of characters that we know and love were pretty special. There were two in particular that I really liked. That just was very amazing. Vader was here, and he is. It reminds me of when we did season 2, episode 1 of Rebels, and we saw Vader in all of his splendor. Mm-hmm. This is it, and he packs a punch. I mean, he's, I don't know, it's hard to talk about this without giving too much away, but I'm just blown away by the, again, the texture of the environment. The fact that they took the technology from 1976 when they made Episode 4 on Star Wars and they made it in there, but made it seem like current and dated at the same time. It didn't feel like I was watching a 70s film, but all of the elements were there. It was there so much. Gareth Edwards' attention to detail absolutely blows me away. And I haven't even talked about the characters yet.
The thing that I keep going back to in my mind, I mean, there's so much, but as we're sort of sitting here and letting it all out, I'm just kind of curious if anyone else was just hit hard by all of the different settings in the first 15, 20 minutes in the movie. I mean, how many different places did they take us in this? that kind of blew my mind, and I want to kind of address what Corey had said, and I completely agree that, that, you know, you leave with this sense of hope of the rebellion, and we learn sort of the origins and where some of these people came from and who they were. But leave no doubt, at the end of the movie, the Empire is powerful. and so it's just sets up that Episode 4. And was it you, Corey, or maybe it was your dad that said, I want to see Episode 4 now. I want to turn around and just let's go there, because this just ramps right into that.
If it's even possible, A New Hope feels different, but in a good way. Like, the fact that R2 ends up with the plans, and you know what went into that. I mean, I know it was intense. You know, they talk about in the opening crawl of the original Star Wars that there was a small band of rebels, you know, and now we've seen it, and my goodness, it just makes how they all come together in Star Wars so much more powerful and poignant.
A small band where one feels like 100.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it definitely gives a lot of weight to A New Hope. I mean, like you say, it's time to see that movie again after seeing this one. And I think without, you know, let's just talk about the movie structure for a minute without giving anything away. Like you said, in the early going of the movie, there are a lot of different settings and places it goes. There is a prologue to this movie that explains an origin of some of the characters in this movie, you know, which sets you up into their world, which we know in the back of our minds as fans is running simultaneously to what's going on in another part of the galaxy. The interesting thing about this from a script point of view and from a directing point of view, let's just talk about the tone and texture of the movie, and it'll be really interesting to see what your fans, Dan and Corey, think about this. You know, without going to specific spoilers, we're talking about the nature of movie and film and how it's drawing them in emotionally. And I think what Edwards has done here, you know, the beginning of the movie is very much a handheld. It's very dark in places, and I'm talking about light and dark and shadows, and it deals with the fractious nature of a growing rebellion. In other words, there's a rebellion against a power, but it's not a unified rebellion, as these things aren't, you know, historically speaking, and there's different ideas and different things going on. And like you say, we go to all these places and just see, you know, a band on the run, basically. And then there's even some, you know, considerations. Do you keep the band together? Do you split apart? What do you do? And this movie answers, you know, as a story goes, you could almost teach this movie as history. There's some things you can think of, many battles, you know, in Western culture, in ancient culture, that kind of are reflected in this film. So there's a lot of, you know, actual story in here that, you know, just goes right deep down into the human condition, the human nature, and the nature of conflict itself. And I think they handled that very well. So that's not to go too far afield and say it's still not a movie, but wow, what a movie.
Tell me about the cinematography of this thing and sort of how, like, just from a filmmaker's perspective, what did Gareth Edwards do that is going to make this film stand out for a long time?
Well, I think you're right. I think it has a very intimate feel at points where it needs to be intimate, you know, and it's very handheld, and it's very, you know, visually, it's not steady. It doesn't know where it's going. Things shake around. People move around. Things blow up. We go different places. Then all of a sudden, there's a stable moment, you know, like when the Empire comes in to show its strength or whatever, where it's, you know, it's broad and it's done in wide shots and its scale and scope. And our heroes, you know, seem impossibly outnumbered against that scale and scope, yet they continue to rise like up a ladder every step of the way, and visually as well. You notice the visual changes as we slip from darkness and shadow into more light. Mm-hmm. And as we, you know, go to the different places and climb the staircase, the staircase, the staircase. And there's a lot of dialogue that is simply about, you know, you go and you do something and then you figure out what's next. So I think for a lot of fans who, you know, and I, one of the great things about Star Wars is people experience things in their own lives that relate to this movie franchise that they're fans of. And I think a lot of people are in places where they can feel hope within themselves because these characters are stating it as well. Being in the desert, not sure you're going to get through. You know, and we watch them rise up and rise up and rise up and rise up. I mean, this film does go there, and that is the best part about it. It's a very mature film. Mm-hmm. And what Edwards has done here, you know, obviously it kicks his career in Hollywood into, you know, high gear, yeah. You know, and I wasn't expecting that. I didn't know. I was so pleasantly pleased with this film, the maturity of it. And, you know, like you say, the visual structure and the storytelling of it, that, you know, it's something to contend with. I mean, it shows you that the Star Wars spinoff franchise is just expand it, make the whole thing stronger. And that's great for fans. That's great for these films. It's great for Disney. So, you know, onward and forward.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're looking, talking about like the tone and things. This did not feel like a Disney movie to me. I mean, we're talking about maybe some of the things that maybe aspect of the other thing that I guess maybe was a low point for me. I mean, there's a lot of high points, but I think that one of the low points was the music. I think it was a little off. The cues are a little bit off, but maybe that's, like you said, Bill, that unsettled, not sure where it's going rate. The music, I think it was beautiful, but it also in points it was like it would kind of stop or kind of start. And then an action scene would come along, and then it didn't feel like a John Williams, which it shouldn't. It shouldn't. It's a different director, but maybe that's the whole tone of the film. Now I think about it and convincing myself that maybe that's not true, but the whole tone of it was a little bit different and off to me in that respect.
Tell me about your high. You haven't mentioned the high points yet.
You know, going in, I felt really comfortable of not knowing a whole lot, and I felt pleasantly surprised about the whole film itself. I kept finding myself going, oh look at that, look at these characters, look at these visual effects. Everything was just really coming together. It worked so well, and the storyline, to me, the trailers don't portray what the storyline truly is. I definitely got a different story here, a better story than what the trailers provide, which I think is good. I mean, it's good to market, it's good to put things out there and promote things. I think it's also good to grab a hold of your story and kind of keep that secret and then let the fans experience that in the film. And I really felt like I was truly seeing a film without spoiling it for myself. So I felt really content there.
That's neat. And you mentioned, is that your low point then, the music? Yeah. You know what's funny? That was probably my highest point.
Really?
That's why we're co-hosts. We're balancing the car. We're balancing the Rogue One here. Yeah. I thought just from beat one, I just thought this music is so beautiful. To me, it completely echoed John Williams in an uncanny way, so much to the fact that I thought, I'm good with Williams not doing any more Star Wars movies. And this guy is on the pulse of it. He brought some stuff from Attack of the Clones a little bit. There's a ton of stuff from A New Hope. Of course, The Empire Strikes Back with Vader's theme. And I thought it was so spot on. Frankly, I thought it was frightening how spot on it was. I mean, I just thought, this is something, like, I enjoyed this score more than Force Awakens. And I love The Force Awakens, but this was just, I don't know. What do you think, guys?
Wow. I guess I'm kind of in your camp, Dan. The music fit right along with it, in my opinion. And I felt like it added to the action in several scenes, and you know, it even sort of told a little bit of the story with me as familiar tunes, or familiar—I don't know the musical terms—but as you know, some of the familiar lines of music came in, and I would almost make a realization of, oh, that's who that is, or that's what that was, or things like that along the way. I have to say, when I think about a low point, and I know, Bill, you want to address the music as well, but if I had a low point, and this is going to be really picky because right now it's hard to have one, but the low point that I have is as I was sitting there watching, and I wouldn't change a darn thing about this movie, but I wondered, can I bring my 9-year-old daughter to this who's dying to see it? And I'm going to, but we're going to have some conversations before and after about what she's going to see, and it'll be a great opportunity for fiction and nonfiction and what's real and what's not, and we're going to have some tears. I have no doubt about it. So if there's a low point, it's kind of hard for the younger audience who's fallen in love with Star Wars, with Force Awakens, and has now gone through it all, but with that said, I wouldn't change a thing. It, 4 years from now, it wouldn't make a difference to my oldest daughter. So that would have to be my low point if that is even a low point.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And to Corey's point about the music,
are you going to balance out the car?
I agree with you, Corey, but in a way to disagree with you, because I think what you're locking onto is that fractious nature that this film does not rise. And Williams tends to float stories, forward, and they're more mythological and they're larger. And this movie is down in the dust. This is how... this is an origin story, and the music is chopping away just like the characters are, and you get those moments of rise, those moments of victory where you sense Williams, and then you get this brand new idea where it senses these characters together and individually where, like I said, when I say it's spiritual, I mean these characters are reaching for spirituality that we don't see fully realized until the characters of the next film. In some cases, they might even be faking it. We don't know, but it's working for them. In other words, they are trying so hard to hang on to that hope by every thread they have, and they each individually walk that path. And the music, has those tracks for each individual character. So if it feels uneven, and again, I say it's because of it's the nature of rebellion itself. It doesn't come together in a pretty or unified way, And here is really showing, the origin to everything. To your point that it would be difficult for a 9-year-old to see this movie, I agree. And I think that maybe, again, one of the best things about it, because this movie will grow with fans. This, like all great movies, like a great river, you never step in the same river twice. You will view this movie differently if you see it when you're 13 or 9, certainly, as opposed to when you're 21, 29, or my age, which is, let's just say just a little north of 50, this movie can be enjoyed, at different times in your life. And that's why I think it's a great part of the canon and a great part of the series.
Yeah, beautifully said. I really like that river metaphor because I think there's a lot of truth. That's one of the things that is so powerful and poignant about Star Wars is there's more there. And I think it's fair to say that sometimes we put more into it than is actually there. I don't know that that's the case with Rogue One. I mean, this is just initial gut reaction stuff, but there's just so much beauty in the ugliness. You know what I mean? There's just so much going on. And the way these people connect, I kind of like they connect without really connecting. I just found that more authentic. And I'm not going to say what happens, but clearly they want you to think, at least in the promotionals, that Jyn Erso and Cassian. Jyn and Cassian. I like how they handled that, and we won't go into it now, but I'm so glad that they handled it the way that they did.
Well, can we talk about
the trailer? They didn't push the button. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff in the trailer, by the way, that was not in this, like that beautiful scene of the dish coming right onto the Death Star. I say as I'm pointing at the Uftrain Nissan Rogue One Death Star thing hanging on the mirror. It's great to be sponsored. I'm having a hard time coming up with a low point. I don't think it's a perfect film. By any stretch of the imagination. In fact, there was about 15 minutes where I just thought, I'm not sure if I'm going to like this too much. And then I just forgot about it. And I just kept thinking the same thing. My goodness, I love this world. I love this Star Wars universe and its richness. And just randomly, can I say, I am so pumped that my buddy Matt Martin got credit on there.
Oh, do you see it?
Yeah, I bet he is so excited. I can't wait to talk to him about that. Anyway, do you have anything that you want to bring up before we...
Yeah, I want to say too that I guess we talked about like the filmography of it and the cinematography of it.
it's not a traditional Star Wars film. It is Star Wars, but it's the way, I don't want to give away too much, but like you kind of said, it jumps from place to place in the beginning there. And I'm trying to figure out like really what are they going for here? I mean, we're seeing some things pop on the screen. And like, I don't remember seeing, I'll just say they're naming some of the planets, the places they're going. And I think they have never done it before.
I've never done that. And what'd you think about that?
I thought it was a little generic because, I mean, I would like to explore the planet visually without having to say, oh, this is where they're going now. But I wonder if that's the case of, because they did go so many places.
See, I don't know. What did you guys say? I love that. I thought a little bit was a little too easy, a little push button. But I kind of liked it. There was only one planet that they didn't do that on. Did you notice that?
I did.
Mustafar.
And was they that, showed, oh, was that? It was, yeah, yeah.
I'll just say, I mean, okay. They had, yeah, okay, there's right. All these things from the original novel, like the wills. They talk about the wills. I mean, the original thing is called Luke Skywalker or the Journal of the Wills. And they talk about the wills in there. And the Kyber crystals have never been mentioned on screen. And Lucas wanted Vader to live in a castle of lava.
And it's there.
It's right there. I thought that was crazy. Crazy cool. I know what you mean. I like that I identified it because basically this is what it does. People who don't necessarily like Star Wars are going to like this probably because of the gritty, I think it's too easy to say it's like Saving Private Ryan. It's not like Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan is about real things. This isn't about real things, but the ideas and the ideology and the points they're having, especially in this political climate and world we live in, blew me away. And it's not an accident.
No, it's not an accident because it's based on historical insurrections going back to all time, and we can draw it to the current political climate around the world, or the one 1,000 years ago, or in the Dark Ages. It doesn't really, small skirmishes, big skirmishes. I just think it's interesting that all the characters here are working toward something, and they don't necessarily even know what that is. This is a very mature movie. It's a very well handled movie, and anyone, like you say, with the Star Wars franchise, anyone who may not be a fan, this film. You have to be a fan of movies. You have to be a fan of history. You have to be an aware human being, and this movie is going to work for you. So in many ways, it's an entryway for people into fandom. Like, obviously, you guys here are all super fans, know every little bit of every in and out of all the canon that there is across many platforms. For a lot of people, and I can tell you the way my experience of the way Hollywood works. The reason you name the planets is because the duration spent there is so short relatively, because this movie covers a lot of ground. Mm-hmm. They need it to draw people in. They need to point. The characters here do say things directly that need to be said so that somebody new to the franchise,
pull them right in.
And there's a lot of dialogue here. One of my favorite lines was basically, if you follow an order that's bad, you're no better than a stormtrooper. These larger, because these ideas are saying they're walking towards a solution. They're also walking towards a purity of thinking. We have characters here that, there's the rebellion, then the characters that are too rebellious for the rebellion, maybe. And there's all that fractious infighting going on. And how does it meld? And what are the sacrifices made as you get there? It's like, that's real stuff. And that's exciting, for any film, and the fact that it's wrapped up in the Star Wars franchise, in Rogue One, I think, is an achievement in filmmaking. For me, this may be one of the best Star Wars films I've ever seen. And it, like you said earlier, it simply strengthens the rest of the franchise and makes them better. And it tells you the breadth and depth of this franchise, how far it has to go. And it's, it's just on a fast track. It's terrific work by everybody, screenwriters. I thought they did a phenomenal job. And you can see, like you said, the marketing that goes into this. But this is something different. It's mature, and it's ready to hand off the next Star Wars film to even more generations.
It gives me a lot of hope for the Han Solo story that's going to come out in 2 years, too, because, the guys who are going to do that are the ones who did the Lego movie and everything, and they're witty, and they get the pulse of this franchise as well. It's fun. Was there something else you were going to bring up? Because I want to jump into, I want everybody to name one character that they really gravitated towards and one that they didn't as much as they expected they would. Okay, you want to go first?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I originally said this too. K2SO was great. He was more than I expected, but I also went in going, I like this character. I like the look of him, like the design of him.
Did you get the Black Series
character at the little Funko Pop of him as well. But the one character I wasn't too sure about was Cassian Andor. And I was kind of like, oh, he's just kind of like a Han Solo ripoff. Not at all. This guy, he really grows for this film. And it's so cool to see that.
Is he dashing, would you say? Is it fair to say?
He's dashing in his own respect, I think. Yeah. But he's not there to be dashing. Mm-hmm. He's there to carry out a mission. Right. And you see him struggle with certain things. And he's the one that most surprised me the most, I think.
What about... Oh, okay, so you did name them both. All right, go ahead, Tom. The one you rotated toward the most and maybe the one that you didn't resonate with as much.
Let's see. The character I probably resonated with the most, surprisingly to me, was Cassian. I guess I wasn't expecting him to be quite as much as he was. But he was more. And you know, Corey, you're right. There were some times I thought, ooh, he's kind of the pre-Han Solo kind of feel of a character, but I felt like he had a lot more leadership. Well, I mean, to say Han Solo doesn't have leadership, but Han Solo is a reluctant. He was a reluctant leader, whereas Cassian, you know, he was a leader straight up, and really enjoyed him. The character that... I don't want to say disappointed me. I just was kind of expecting more screen time or wanting more screen time was Orson Krennic. I felt like maybe that was because Tarkin was so powerful in this movie. Maybe he just overwhelmed the character of Orson Krennic. Of course, I'm coming fresh off the reading of Catalyst, where he is a major, major character. And I guess I was just wanting and expecting a little bit more from him.
Okay, you guys have to help me out with all the names, knowing the canon. The pilot of the ship that kicks the whole thing off.
Bodhi Rook.
Yeah. Because that is a journey in a character, and it's a tough one to write. And like you said, everyone does go to their own corner in this because everyone's coming from their own corner. So in a way, they come together and coalesce, and they need to kind of break apart and act independently in order to succeed in the mission. And other, you know, there's ebbs and flows to this. And that character goes from somebody that you're not sure, and he's probably unsure, like, is this guy for real? Is this guy even okay? You know, and all of a sudden he has to survive like everyone else, and then he has to find a way to thrive in this environment, and then ultimately he you know, is as heroic as, you know, anyone else in any other of the movies. And that's a real pleasant surprise. It's a tough thing to do in film. It's a tough character arc to make that. You know, obviously the K2SO character is the comic relief in many ways and has also a great story arc and a very much needed comic relief in this movie that is just really well timed and really well paced. But the characters that come out of betrayal, let's say, or they're birthed in a way that you're not sure, and their action kind of kicks off the entire movie or the series of events, are very tough to kind of also be worthwhile, you know, other than just a prop to move the plot forward. And I thought his character, and it was the acting in this movie is also just, you know, extraordinary. I know some critics are going to look at certain characters and say, oh, it's over the top over this. There's nothing over the top about this movie. It's impossible. The backdrop is too big. It's one of the first Star Wars movies you can see where there could be Best Supporting Actor nominations. And I wouldn't be surprised that beyond the technical and some other things, you see that. And as original screenplay, it's up there, especially in this year.
Agreed. Was there anybody that underwhelmed you? It's okay to say no, of course.
If it comes to me, if I'm going to be a hard critic, maybe, but no, not tonight. I think everyone did their job. And, I think does this movie leave you cheering? Does it leave you in tears? I mean, you know, the cumulative effect of this movie is so powerful that it's it's rarely seen in movies. I mean, you see it in films like Titanic or things that are really designed to, you know, bring love, pathos, and action. And let's talk about, I mean, some great action. Yeah. Star Wars fans are going to be very, I mean, there's some, you know, things that we expect in movies here, and they're there, and they're there in a terrific way. No, there's not a chink in the armor tonight that I could go after or feel comfortable going after, because the emotional leftovers are so resonant right now.
Right. Before I go, do you want to say who moved you the least?
You know, I guess, like Bill said, it's hard to. I don't want to. I love everybody so much. I think, and all the actors did a great job acting. I really believe their characters. I never, for once, they dropped their character. Maybe the one that felt, I don't think I can do it. Okay, I'll let you go ahead.
All right. I know where you're going. Okay, who do you think I'm going to go?
Go ahead and tell me. I'll tell you.
All right, well, let's go with who I was moved by the most. Sure. And I'm going to do a tie. And it's our show. I can do a tie if I want to. I'm going to go with Krennic and Sheeran Inway as the two standouts for me. Okay. Now, I have a hard time through the world of marketing when I'm basically told, without being told, that this is who I'm supposed to like. And I felt that way about K2SO from the beginning. I'm still ambivalent to him. I like him fine, but I don't care. I'm sort of on the fence either way with him. I thought Sheeran Inway was going to be forced, pun intended, mm-hmm. and I loved him. Like, I thought he would. And the action sequences that he does, and they're few and far between, but wow. I mean, obviously, that actor is, Donnie Yen, is insane, amazing, right? Yeah. That's someone that you would want to even pretend to tease, right? He's incredible. So that moved me. And I thought Krennic, I mean, I love the acting in him. And Callis does give you a little bit more on him. But I thought the way he was used and the way he was a bully and a jerk. Hmm. But you know, his ambition, which mm-hmm. Vader cleverly discusses, I was really drawn to him. And I was, at the end, we'll save that for another time. The one that I felt just a little bit underwhelmed by was Jyn Erso. And you know why? And you know, some people get upset about this, and that's fine. You can't. It's your proclivity to do so. I like the character a lot. I think I wanted Rey. Rey's strong, and Rey needs people. She doesn't need anybody. I felt like Jyn, she did stuff on her own, but I don't know. I just don't feel like, I don't think she was as independent as I wanted her to be. It's not that she was dependent, because she's obviously her own woman, her own character, and she's great, but I want her to be more fleshed out. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that too. I guess if I could talk about one person that I was a little underwhelmed about was Jyn, and maybe that was because of the marketing too. Like, it seemed like this was kind of her story, and it was kind of her story, but it really wasn't her story. It was
Cassian was as front of stage as Jyn was, and maybe
I felt that way too.
But I thought that Jyn should have gotten more.
Yeah, I guess I put a little more on her, and not that she wasn't a great actress and fulfilled her role really well, but I think I expected more maybe to her story, but I don't know. I see what you mean, though.
Yeah. Is that what you thought I was going to say?
No, but I'm surprised by it, and I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm going to have to disagree again. Because in other words, this movie is an origin story on its own. And I think Jyn's origin is less clear and pure in some of the other characters we've seen in the other movies. There's a real ambivalence here. And I think, you know, she walks up to it, and this, you know, this movie is raw. This is, you know, think of revolutionary patriots at our own independence. I mean, this, it doesn't come together pretty. Not everyone's wearing the same uniform, and not everyone's fighting the same way. And this movie, the interesting thing about the trailer to me, looking back on now, I've seen the trailer for, you know, weeks now, is that tone we hear in the trailer, that alarm that goes off, that alarm that's going off, and you're getting visuals as you're hearing that alarm just sounding that, and it's a heartbeat, it's a call to action. And her character in this goes from being, you know, we see her, the prologue that features, you know, her origin story, basically. And I don't think she's ever quite sure. And her certainty comes when other people start losing their certainty. And even in her certainty, I don't think she has a big platform to stand on, because they're all making it up as they're going along. And there's some of the dialogue that says, you know, we need to try this. So again, for all of us in our own lives, when we meet new obstacles or new things, you know, there's not necessarily a clear path. We need to try this. We need to get to there. And then once we get there, we'll keep going. And then there's a character in this movie, of course, that tells you what the odds of success are, which is, you know, and you never really can be sure. And I think she fights and fights and fights her way up that ladder. And I think a lot of her story does close around. But again, I see what you mean, but I think it's a different character. And I think that take from a writer's point of view, from a director's point of view, is to not wrap it in a bow and make it satisfying. Mm. I think that's the urge that Hollywood would want you to do, to reach a certain audience. And I think the fact that they're not doing that here, very much on purpose, they're not making it neat and they're not tying it up, is what makes this movie not only a great addition to the Star Wars franchise, but a good standalone movie that will attract even more people to it. And I honestly think that's intended. I mean, the people that do this movie, Kathleen Kennedy, that team, these screenwriters, they know what they're doing.
They're scary.
And that
they're
was scary, discussed. Dude. You know, that was discussed around that writer's table, you know?
And to be clear, and I think we agree more than we disagree, because I don't want to wrap it in a pretty bow. My favorite story of all time is Hamlet, which is not pretty. So I appreciate it. And I kind of like the idea of, you're sort of uncertain because she's a little uncertain, but she's very focused. I think maybe there's like the part of me that's kind of over the daddy or mommy issues in characters. And I understand you must lose your mentors to propel. That's very Joseph Campbell. And I get that. I think it was essential and necessary. I don't know. It's something I want to process. I'm looking forward to writing a review of this thing for sure.
I look forward to reading your review because I agree with you where certain things propel this movie forward, where there's loss and there's, you know, people splitting apart for different reasons to take on different things. But ultimately, then the moments they do have where they come together or things work out as it was, you know, entire lifetimes are lived in those moments. And I think that's what these characters are doing. You know, there's broad swaths of time you don't see where they're percolating and waiting for this moment. And then when those moments do happen, you know, they live, fight, love a lifetime inside those seconds. And I just think it's a very mature take on, you know, good screenwriting all the way.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about your take on Jen. When you started saying that, I don't know. At this point right now, I'm not really all that disappointed in her character. I thought it worked really well. And as everyone was talking, the scene that comes to mind where I think I need to see the movie again in order to now that you've put a little doubt in my mind, the scene that comes to me as being a wonderful scene with her. And again, I don't think I give anything away here because we know this character's in it, but it's when they're having the discussion with basically the whole rebel group, and they're standing around the table, and we have Mon Mothma standing across from her, who we know. And she's standing there almost kind of like, I don't know. Forgive me if it's not really the term I should use, but a little mouse. And she's trying to make her case, but her voice is so small at that time. And I need to watch that scene again because it didn't really bother me when I watched the movie because, you know, she walks away and then some tables turn. But I don't know. I'll have to go back to that. But and I know it's not my show. But am I allowed to change the topic? Because I want to talk about this. I was so impressed with this. Going into the movie, I thought the U-Wing spaceship, I thought it was a little overhyped. And I thought, I don't know, I was really disappointed in the U-Wing and design going into the movie. But I have to say, I was so impressed with the versatility of the ship and the way they used it. I thought it was such a cool Star Wars spaceship. And so we saw some tricks that we've seen the Rebel Alliance do before with Star Destroyers in a little different way, but still kind of a similar way. But I'm kind of curious if anyone else had any, if we can just go, you know, little boy here and talk about spaceships and whatever. Did anyone else have anything that they were really impressed with, you know, special effects or starships?
Yeah, and I don't, like I said, I don't want to give away too much, but I was impressed with the special effects. It really knocked my socks off. I know they're combining the great technology they have now, and they implied in other movies as well, and it's just getting better and better. And it's just almost like legends live on, I will say that. I definitely see that, and I was just impressed by that much, and I didn't expect those things to be so crystal clear. And for me just to be, I was never pulled out of this movie. I was expecting this to be like, I don't see Luke. I don't see my heroes and my beloved characters. But yet I was totally invested. And that's something, like you said, that caught me off guard.
Yeah. I think, I love the Ewing too. I've always sort of liked it. And it exceeded my expectations, which were already sort of high. And I think it's just because I like the Lego Ewing. I don't know why. The thing that moved me the most, the absolute most, was Gareth Edwards. And I've not been reserved about my disdain for Godzilla. It was terrible. And when I found out that Edwards was directing this, I was a little worried about character, things like character and plot, you know. And wow. I mean, this guy, he juggled a lot. This was, I'm not going to say it's more intimidating than The Force Awakens, because that was, you had the original cast. But this was extremely intimidating to make. It had to be. You had to really be passionate and confident and have a good team. And clearly, he does. I mean, there's no secret there. I was just really impressed with his ability to make a lot of things happen, but nothing was wasted. And there's a lot of cameos. There's a lot of nods to fans that aren't quite in your face, but they're really nice. And sometimes they can get a little carried away. But I was pleased with that. Again, it's sort of like a texturing of what we already know and just kind of solidifying any little cracks and just kind of building this up to something stronger than I didn't think it could be. And that's cool. And so I want to get everybody else's thoughts, but we need to wrap up because at some point the museum does want to close. And Letty does want to go home, I'm sure. So last minute thoughts before we go home and marinate on this some more.
Yeah, I we all kind of concur that we didn't see it again. I feel that notion. And I was always also going in thinking like, if I'll see it as much as I saw Force Awakens or, just because it had that different vibe. But I think I'm definitely seeing it again for a second time or maybe a third time. And I think overall, it was a great film. I think, like you said, it breathed Star Wars. It was Star Wars. I loved all the new characters. I loved the new locations. Every aspect, like you said, I like the way you said nothing was wasted. And like you said, it's not a perfect film, but also it does a really great favor to the Star Wars saga.
Can you rank it with the existing? And I just
kind of rank it. Really, oh boy, that's hard.
I don't like that, but people are gonna do it, so let's just do it.
Rank it. Oh,
I don't think you can.
It's hard because it's like it wasn't like I've said this before. A Star Wars film is like getting your favorite plate at a restaurant. You're getting the side of mashed potatoes is John Williams' music. You're getting director debut of George Lucas, and you're getting the characters. And you're getting that plate in front of you every time a Star Wars movie is made, and you get those three things. And this wasn't those three things. It was three different portions of that meal. But I ate it up, right? So it's different for me. So it's hard to rank. I mean, I definitely liked it a lot. Was it better than Force Awakens? No. I don't know.
How do you compare it to Force Awakens? Because that's the thing everybody's doing. I think that's a lot like saying.
I'm gonna say
like Mickey Mouse or Bugs Bunny. I mean, they're not. Really
I'm gonna say, it is not better than Force Awakens.
Okay. Oh, look at him grimacing.
Well, see, you took away the entire ranking of all the movies because I was just gonna say it's the number one Star Wars story. You take it outside of the mainline trilogy. I don't know how to rank it with that. I don't know. It's a cop out to say it's equal to the excitement and everything else of Force Awakens. I think as a great story, it's right up there with some of the best ones. And the thing that I'll leave with tonight is I'm just trying to figure out where in my schedule I'm going to fit in a viewing of this again. That's what, when I give my mind a break from thinking about the movie, that break goes to when can I see it again?
Okay, final thoughts. I still can't believe we're sitting inside a Nissan Rogue on the second floor of a museum. The 9 o'clock show has already entered, and so here they are. They're enjoying it in 3D now. To Gareth Edwards, this is a better team than Godzilla. Talent in Hollywood, you know, talent always rises to the top. He's clearly talented, but this is a better team, and it's good for everyone involved in this, and certainly for his career. I'm not the fan of Star Wars you guys are. I am a film fan across a broad range of movies, and I could not compare this to the other Star Wars films, which I love for all different reasons. And the reason is because Rocky is a boxing movie and so is Raging Bull. There were times in this movie I thought Scorsese was behind the camera. There are times I thought John Woo was behind the camera. And those are all compliments. You know, and there were times I thought George Lucas was behind the camera in the original, you know, Star Wars. And that is a tough act. That is a high bar to jump over. And like you said, this must have been incredibly intimidating for this team, but they did it and they did it well. But they are different. This is a different movie than the Star Wars franchise, yet it dovetails so nicely into it that I just think people are going to be extremely pleased. And I'm looking forward to hearing from people who aren't fans of the franchise or haven't been introduced to it yet, or a new generation that's going to come in on this vision of it, because there is a change now in the Star Wars franchise, and that's that every movie that happens in the timeline past this one now has a different weight. You will not watch those movies without thinking about those characters that kicked this entire thing off and made their struggles and their heroism and their sacrifices and their journey to allow the rest of the Star Wars franchise to basically begin.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are all so eloquent, and it's such a pleasure to be talking about this with all of you, because that's one of the things I've always said about Star Wars. It brings people together, and just the way we have different ways of looking at this, it's going to be wonderful to see what so many people think. I'm kind of in a weird place, too, because it is like, I like the Raging Bull Rocky comparison, because they're parallel, but they're not on the same track. We are good with metaphors today, aren't we? It's kind of what we do. And it just moved me in very unique ways that I did not expect. And Star Wars is legitimately different now. The Force Awakens complemented it and sent it to the next level. Mm-hmm. But it's still Star Wars. This is like, Star Wars is redefined. Like, it legitimately is redefined. And I'm not someone who just likes the latest thing. In fact, it's sort of the opposite sometimes. I kind of have to walk that line trepidatiously. But Star Wars is a little bit different now, and I'm okay with that. Like, The Force Awakens, it jarred me after the first viewing, and this didn't, because it was just so unique and special, and we are looking forward. Do you have anything else you want to say before we sign off? We want to thank Uftring Nissan for bringing the Rogue One Limited Edition vehicle to the Peoria Riverfront Museum. It was wonderful. Check it out, absolutely. It's an awesome car. Test drive it, see what you think. And I'm still like salivating over this thing. Yeah, it's just great. It's great. So we had so much fun. I mean, there's nothing like seeing a brand new Star Wars movie for the first time, and with all of you and everybody that came with us, that just makes it all worthwhile. So on behalf of Bill and Tom and Corey and myself, enjoy this movie. Send us an email or an MP3. Send us your thoughts. We want to share them on the air. And may the Force be with you.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section, or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal. This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.